This is Dave Seibold, and this interview was recorded on April 11th, 1991, at the home of Tony Boomgard, the gentleman, one of the gentlemen that we are going to be interviewing. His close neighbor, Pete Clawson, came in on the scene, and he is involved in the conversation, and I think you'll be able to discern the difference between the voices. Tony Boomgard is 91 years old, just had his 91st birthday, and has lived in Grand Haven all of his life. Pete Clawson is 72 years old, and he too has lived in Grand Haven all of his life. So it's a very interesting combination and a wealth of information about the history of Grand Haven since the turn of the century. So with that background, let's listen to the interview. There we go. Yeah. Now it's going. And we'll just set it right here. That's good enough.
Well, I'm sorry that Pete can't be with us today, darn it.
Well, he said he'd come over. He had a bowl, he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said he'd be over. I don't know what.
Later on?
Yeah.
Well, good. You talked to him later, did you?
Well, he talked to me this morning and told me you were coming.
Okay,
here.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just figured between you and he, you could kind of prompt one another on some of the history of the area.
Yeah?
You know,
I know a little bit about it, 91 years.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and you've lived here all of your life.
Yeah.
When you consider, you were born at the turn of the century, 1900. There was no electricity. Well, little electricity.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't have inside plumbing.
No. Yeah. No. Of course, I... No, that's right. No inside plumbing.
Yeah.
No.
And no telephones.
We didn't have a telephone.
Yeah.
Until later years. And then we had kerosene lamps in the house. And then eventually we got gas lights, you know. And then it went from gas to electricity lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what change? What would be the date of the changeover on that? 1920s, or would it have been? When did you get the electricity, the lights?
Well, I don't remember.
1920s, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember when we
How about inside plumbing? Can you remember when you got that?
I was a little kid, I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that either. No.
That would be, you know, it's kind of tough for me. I know that we had outside plumbing at our cottage. And I guess we never did get anything. We never did get inside plumbing. But automobiles, there weren't any cars around, were there?
Oh, no, nothing on any cars, no.
Yeah. Hello, Pete. Good to see you. Well, you can make it. I'm sure glad you could make it.
Yeah.
That's great. He said
you.
Know,
Pete.
He said you might come over.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I got a picture down in the basement that you might be interested in.
Good. What's it of?
The fire department.
Oh yes, you bet.
I'll show it to you.
All right. Okay.
You see, you can. Come
on, you can tell them where they are there. Yeah. Well, back in those days, probably, well, I guess in 27, fires weren't quite the problem that they were, you know, in the early days before they had good water supply.
Yeah.
A fire in town was a serious problem. Take out the whole neighborhood. Yeah, sure did.
Sure, and then they used to have horses, you know, for the fire trucks. And that's when from Bedlam. That was one of them from Bedlam, there. And that was in the East End, where they had a Fireburn.
Firebar.
Oh.
And that was...
I didn't know that. Where was it?
I was on the corner of Washington.
Didn't they move that house in there just a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
On that corner? What was that?
Colonel Smith, he's the one that drove the horses, trained the horses. And you know what Colonel Smith was? Did you know Harold Smith?
Yes, right. I knew that they were Smith brothers.
Harold Smith?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was his father.
Okay.
And he's the one that drove the horses there that time. There was no paved roads then, you know.
Huh.
They used to go like
talk about Smith now. You said Minnow Smith drove horses
for Robbins.
For Robbins on the corner of 5th and
Franklin.
Franklin.
Uh-huh.
That building is still there behind the house there.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And you said they had horses in the basement. They are in the
Floor. Yeah, and he lived upstairs.
And he lived upstairs. There was another Smith, Middle Smith.
So he was a call, you know, all the time. There, he drove for Robbins, you know.
Now, that was a different one, though.
That was a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, the main fire barn was on the corner of 5th and Franklin.
Right. Yeah.
But then they had one on the east end of town.
They had one there, too.
Yeah. And were those fully staffed? Men lived right in the barn, or was it volunteer?
No, there were volunteers, and then they used to just go there at night, you know, sleep, and then they used to have just one man and during the day there to drive the horses and take care of that, you see, for the farm. But there were volunteers. I think Jim was a volunteer in one of those fire.
What did they do for communication? How did they find out from one end of town where the fire was and if there was a fire? That was before telephones, or wasn't it?
Well, I suppose they had the telephone, and then they had these boxes on each corner, you know, fire boxes.
Okay.
You know, where they used to come in, and they used to just throw the chain down there on one of the boxes.
Uh-huh.
And that would let them know that there was a fire in that neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah. I guess that system really is still used today, isn't it? When somebody pulls a box, wherever it is, if there's a fire alarm someplace, that... Yeah, sure. Well, I had no idea that there was a fire barn on the other side of the... We call it the other side of the highway now, just the east end of town.
Yeah.
There's a theater there, too. Remember that?
I've heard of it, yeah.
What a place, wasn't it? Yeah. Who'd you say managed that? Hmm? Who managed that theater?
Oh, that was I told you this morning, Pete.
Vandenberg?
Vandenberg? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a... What do you want to know about that?
We're just talking about it. There was a theater out there, too.
Yeah.
That was the Crescent Theater.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that road was not paved at that time, was it?
No. Yeah. I don't think so. No.
Uh-huh.
No. I remember when they put in the first Washington Street, they paved that with brick. You know, hand brick.
Sure.
It was a brick road then. Then Don, he was the manager of that paving job.
He was a contractor for it?
Yeah. No, he worked for a contractor.
Well, he worked for a manager. Contractor. He was a manager, okay.
Who would that have been? Donna?
Which Donna was that?
Gosh, I don't know.
Lived out the east end, too?
No. He lived on 5th Street.
Donna is the last name, I take it.
Donna.
Uh-huh. That doesn't ring a bell. I can't place that name. That, as I remember the history, that was 1910 that was paved. Does that feel about right?
Yeah, I guess so.
You would have been 10 years old.
Yeah.
You would have been right in the middle of it, I bet.
Yeah.
They kept having to say, get out of here,
I
kid.
I didn't see him do it. To put those bricks down. They had a couple guys there, and they had to put, I don't know how many, they could put down in an hour.
Yeah.
One of them bricks. Yeah.
And just pop them right into place?
Pop them right into place, yes.
I'd love to have seen that. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
Had to have a good sand bed, didn't they, to lay it on?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But before that, did they have plank roads then?
No, gravel.
Just gravel?
Yeah.
Oh.
The only plank road that I can remember is 3rd Street.
3rd Street Hill?
Yeah, you know.
Not the hill. Just the street.
Just the street.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Was that 3rd Street? Yeah, that's 3rd Street.
3rd.
No, 2nd.
Yeah, that.
2nd Street.
2nd was the sliding hill, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was a plank road. Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, years
because
ago.
It was so steep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Boy, they used to have a good sliding hills there. Toboggans, you know, and God, they'd sit, make 10 or 12 people on those toboggans. And they used to start on the top of the hill, and they used to go way out through the swamp.
Huh. I've heard tell of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they were iced, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, and then they had watchmen to watch on the road there, so they be careful, you know, when those toboggans. Yeah.
You know, you stop and think about it. The interurban was here in 1903 when they paved the road on Washington Street. They had to either raise the tracks or lower the grade so that when they bricked up to it, the tracks and it all was flush. Now that took a little bit of it. You know, you said they did that by hand. They had to have brought that sand or whatever it was right up to a level so that one brick would bring it right level with the tracks. I think. I don't know. Do you remember that or not?
No, I don't remember that. I remember the interurban depot there was behind that. That was behind the hotel. Yeah. You know the hotel on the corner there?
Oh, sure, the Ferry Hotel,
yeah,
or the
yeah.
Kirby, or what, yeah.
Yeah, right behind there. That used to be the, yeah. And Jim Oakes, I think he bought that property there then. And he put up a gasoline station on the corner there. You remember that?
Oh, really? Now, where would that have been? On the corner of,
Franklin and First Street, right?
That's where Wessels used to be.
Huh?
Wessels used to have a gas station there, and then he moved across the street.
Yeah.
Franklin and First. I'm thinking Franklin and First would be where the Royal Dry Cleaner is now.
No, that was just that block this way.
Oh, okay, on down farther.
Yeah,
okay,
Harbor.
Okay, sure.
Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jim Oakes is the one that would have been Jim Oakes' dad.
Yeah.
Put that in.
Yeah.
And that would have been when? Probably the 20s or. Probably 20s. Yeah. Yes. Well, where Wessels is now, that was a hotel.
Sure, Riverview Hotel, wasn't it, Pete? Call that the Riverview Hotel. I knew those people too.
Andre?
I can't think of their names.
Right? Andre? Was it Andre?
No.
Wasn't Andre?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about we were talking about water for the fire? Do you remember getting water in your home? You used to have to pump it, I imagine.
I guess we had water in the kitchen a long time ago. I don't remember that.
That had to.
I know we had a pump at one time.
Electric pump or hand pump?
No, hand pump.
Hand pump, yeah.
Yeah.
How often did your mom do a wash? Do you remember that?
Oh, once a week. Yeah. Used to hang it out in the wintertime and freeze out of line. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you tell them about the, we're downtown area now, that same block, on that other corner, by the theater. You talked about that too, remember?
The saloon.
There was a saloon there.
There was a saloon there. There was a saloon there. There was a barber shop there.
Yeah.
You could.
Hanson's barber shop.
Hanson's barber shop. You could rent a tub for a bath, couldn't you?
Ten cents a bath.
Ten cents.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You could take a bath in the. Yeah. Huh. That's when the bathtubs first come out.
What else did you say? They had a. In that same corner. They had a little stage set up in there. Remember when you told me that? They had plays there.
Oh, yeah, air dome.
An air dome?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, right in there where they, where that new, where the Grand Theater is, there used to be stores in there, you know. And then in between there, there was a, what they call an air dome. And they had bleachers in the back and a canvas top on there. And they used to be just like a vaudeville. They used to have a vaudeville as one of the first entertainments of the town.
But it was open then.
Huh?
Or was it heated or not?
Oh, no.
No, right.
Air dome. That's the reason they call it the
air
dome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it only was spring, summer, fall.
Yeah.
Warm season, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. You remember going to that?
I remember going to that. Yeah. That's a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't aware of that when you told me that.
Yeah, you used to call the air dome. And I was just wondering if Joe Neeson put that in there.
Would have been in that area.
Yeah.
Right along in there.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, what kind of shows would come in there?
Vaudevilles. They used to just put them on the stage.
Uh-huh. Singing.
Yeah.
And
dancing and all that kind
of
stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you remember Frank Fisher lived right around the corner here someplace.
Yeah.
You remember Frank? Well, he was in vaudeville. I don't know if you ever played Grand Haven, though.
I think he did on different occasions.
He did on different occasions. I used to, at the Grand Theater, I think they had a stage there that they put on an act between the movies, you know, sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's when he was here. Yeah.
Of course, that was big time, that theater.
Oh, yeah.
That went in. As a matter of fact, I think that was built the same year that that picture of the fire trucks was taken, 1927. Does that ring a bell with you? It'd be about that time?
Yeah, about that time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, when that went in, it was the only theater in town, was it? Or were there... Of course, you still had the... what was the one? Crescent. Was the Crescent that old? Did that date back to 27?
That was right near neighborhood there. You remember that?
Robin Hood. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, Robin Hood.
Yeah. Right.
That was Hunt Robin's theater, too. Hunt Robin, you know that? That was one of the Robin's.
Yes, right. Yeah. It was Hunter Robbins then, not Nat.
No, Nat was the old man.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when did you... You must have become a druggist somewhere along the line. You went to school to learn the drugging business?
Yeah, what they call a grandfather's deal.
Oh, okay. What, you had learned it, you had gone to work for Ewald and...
No, for Van. I started for Van I Witt. Yeah. He was in the drug business there for a long, long time. And then I went. Then Ewald bought it. And then they were sold out. Then we just bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you never had any formal schooling in it then. But did you, back in those days, what if you wanted, needed something for a headache, what would you get? Did you mix up something for them, or?
We used to, all the quinine we used to have to put in capsules. Uh-huh. I used to sit there Saturday sometime and put it, put in capsules, 2 grains of quinine in the capsule. Aspirin used to, you didn't come in pills then, there was powder. And then we used to put that in capsules, too. Yeah.
Huh. Now, what year is this that we're talking about? You would have been, what, about 20 years old?
Yeah,
or?
Somewhere around there.
So you would have been, that would have been about 1920 then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden they said, you've got to be licensed to do this, except you guys that have been at it a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Huh. And you were licensed to do drugging, you were still with Wheeler in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, I helped him out, yeah.
You must have been prime draft age during the First World War.
Yeah, I was. I was drafted. We had a report, and... I wouldn't call, but I got that card that I had to be come and get my examination. I had to get the examination, so then I was on call all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't have to go. Yeah.
I talked to Ollie Teisman. You know Ollie?
Yeah.
And he was probably just 3 or 4 years older than you. You know who Ollie is?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, you probably were in school. He was enough ahead of you. You didn't know him in school, probably.
No.
Yeah.
No. Is Ollie... Yeah, he's living, isn't he?
He is. I believe
he is.
Yeah. I talked to him last fall. He's still... he was living then. Well, you... Where did you live? On the East End?
Yeah, I lived at 1144 Washington. That's on the East End.
Yeah. Where did... What would the Crescent Theater's address have been? Were you...
Well, that was down... Another, that was about in the 1200 block.
I see.
Yeah.
So you lived right where Corny...
Boer?
Corny Boer.
We lived across the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Van Hoffs were right there.
Yeah. And then my dad had a garden. Before that, there was a celery farm in the back of our house. There was no houses there.
Uh-huh.
You know, you remember that?
Yeah. I can remember where Myers is.
Hmm?
Where Myers is. We used to be down there as kids. We had a football field down there.
Yeah.
Before Van Zylen went in there.
Yeah.
Van Zylen Lumber was in that area.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Corny Boer, she's a really good one for you to go to.
Yes.
A lot of information.
Yeah, I talked to them. I went over to talk to them. Yeah,
Ruth and Quality?
Yes. Sure.
Used to be our neighbors, you know, that is across the road. They live right
sure.
across the road there.
Yeah.
I wonder how old Corny is. She must be 100 years old.
She is 90. She's close to it. She's 98, I think. 98.
Yeah, I have to go call on them sometimes. I wonder if they're living in Spring Lake.
Yes, they are. Still there. At the condominiums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have a nice setup there. She and Ruth are living together. Well, I don't know. You're an unattached bachelor. I wouldn't go there unescorted, Tony.
I think a baseball bat won.
You got to watch him around the neighborhood.
Yeah. They're nice girls, though.
Oh, yes, yeah. Right. You bet.
Yeah. Errol Mann was pretty good, too. You remember, you don't remember that. His father, he used to be in, their father used to be in the furniture business. Across the road there, downtown.
Moore?
Huh?
Moore Furniture.
Yeah, I remember that. Keel? You remember Keel? He was next door on the furniture business.
He, down there where Bruce had been closing, weren't they? In that area?
Yeah. Long about where, the gift store. Flotos. Yeah, right
in
that
area.
Yeah. He was a mortician, too.
Yeah, well, sure. Tom Keel was, too. There were two furniture stores there. Boers and Tom Keel. And they were both morticians. Yeah. You see, hang crepes on the door when the people would die? You remember? You know when they'd been in the funeral homes then? And they were always buried from the house, you know. They were hanging a crepe on the door when they were dead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What would it, when you say a crepe, what would it be, a bow?
A bow or the black bow,
like a tail.
Oh, okay.
The ribbon on it.
And that would signify that the person was dead.
Dead, in that house.
Uh-huh. Huh. No, I don't ever remember those.
And then they used to all have what they call hacks. You remember them? They used to drive those to the funeral, horses to drive them to the funeral.
Uh-huh.
Had a hearse in the front. And then they used to have to rent those hearses. People that were relatives, you know.
Sure.
They go to the funeral.
Yeah. And then go to the... to the cemetery.
Yeah. To go to the cemetery. Used to pay, I think they used to pay $5 for the hat.
Really?
And then there was a fork that sat in a hat.
Huh. All dressed in black, probably.
I suppose so.
Now that, the wreath would stay, or the crepe, or whatever, would hang on the door until the funeral, then they'd take it off.
Take it off. Yeah. And then they went from the horses to automobiles. And then the people used to say, they can't get rid of me quick enough, they have to put me in an automobile.
Hustle me out to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine the embalming techniques were about the same then as they are now.
Altogether different now.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave would have to bring us up to date on the... Yeah. Well, where did you go to school? Central School was the
I
only...
I went to Christian school.
Oh, you did?
At that time.
Where was that?
That was on Columbus Street.
What was the highway?
Huh? Right where the highway is.
Tony revealed at this point that for the first 4 years of school, the children were taught Dutch in their classes, primarily so they could understand the sermons in church. So you went through the eighth grade.
Yep.
And that was the end of your formal education.
Talking about Christian school. Uncle Patterson went in there after they vacated that building.
Okay.
Before that, Pimple Patterson was in a little shop down here where Henry Casper's used to be. And there was a little plumbing shop there in that building that faced 7th Street, right by the railroad track.
Okay.
And Pimple started his business in there. That little Christian school.
Out where they are. Sure. When you said that there was, what else? Oh, a plumbing shop. You said there's a plumber there. That faced 7th or Washington?
7th.
And then Pipple faced Washington. Did he? Or was he on 7th also?
He was in that same building, the plumbing shop.
Okay. Well, what was the drugstore there?
That was Preston Drug.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Preston Drug. And then there was a little jewelry shop in there. Repair.
Been working.
He was a good worker and had a clothing store there.
Yeah. That was Tony Obig. And somebody else.
Obig?
Yeah. Tony Obi.
Okay.
And then grocery store, butcher shop. He had a butcher shop first.
Right. But he had the butcher shop on 7th Street first.
Yeah.
And then he moved over on Washington.
Yeah, and Powell was a, we had that. He worked for Powell, and then eventually bought it from Powell. You remember that?
No.
Powell? Yeah.
Well, what kind of remedies would you provide people that came in with rheumatism? Or
aspirin.
Aspirin, yeah. Yeah.
Quinine.
Yeah, what was the quinine for? We don't take quinine anymore, I don't think.
Well, they used to use it for flu. When Dr. Witt was, you remember Dr. Witt?
I never met him, no.
When he made house calls and that, they used to give you quinine. Take two grain capsule every 2 hours, you know. Make you a hit. Go around 50 miles an hour. Yeah.
How about magic oil?
Huh?
Magic oil.
Yeah, that's an old one.
That's an old one.
What's that? Never heard of that.
It's a little bottle like that. I got one at home. Square bottle. And you took that for strep throat or quinsy or whatever they had, right? My wife had
used to
plenty of it. She had
a teaspoonful. They used to put sugar in it, a teaspoon, and about 5 or 6 drops of magic oil.
I wonder what was in magic oil.
Huh?
What was in magic oil, I wonder?
Sweet oil. And, they used a few other oils in there. Just called it magic oil.
Good heavens.
But that was a cure for just about anything.
Yeah, everybody had magic oil.
Everybody had magic oil. Just like everybody got Tylenol or Advil, you know?
Sure.
Seemed like everybody had magic oil. Yeah.
Now, that was over the counter. You could just sell that to anyone?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Patent medicine.
Uh-huh.
Did
he get famous? Yeah, right, sure.
Maybe in every bottle, what do you say? Yeah.
Well, you know, you were very close to Garrett Ecken's store right along in there, weren't you?
Oh, Ecken was in there.
Yeah.
That's my old buddy.
Garrett?
Garrett Ecken's.
I used to work for John Rankert when I was home school. John had that style shop next to the Stephanie there.
Yes, right.
Garrett was right next to it. I go down, keep the sidewalks, you know. Always stop in and talk to Garrett. Always want me to stop in and talk to him.
Yeah.
You've seen pictures of the inside of it, haven't you?
I have, yeah, darn it. And I miss seeing the real thing, though.
His counter, all the glass display of beans,
yeah.
Dried beans. Cured his own cheese. Little pot belly stove in the back.
Huh.
Yeah, big pot belly stove.
Yeah, other groceries with horse and buggy. And then he had a store up in the summertime. You've heard of that, I'm sure.
Out of Highland Park, would it have been?
Park?
No. Not yet.
He had a little store up there. In summer residence.
Yeah. He used to deliver the groceries.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was all horse driven.
Sure. When did you have your first car?
Oh, I guess I don't remember. It was a Ford Coupe, I know that.
That would have been a Model T.
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was a Model T. But put your foot on the brakes, you know, or clutch and everything. And shift on the floor. You know, floor shift.
But you had a...
Not on a Model T.
Huh?
Not on the Model T. You had three
yeah,
pedals.
Then it had foot.
Yeah, you had foot pedals.
Foot pedals, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, then the Model A.
Model A you had to shift.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you had your own horse before that.
No, I didn't have a horse.
Oh, didn't you?
There wasn't too many people had horses around here.
June Schaefer had them right in town.
Hmm?
June Schaefer? Remember, he used to dig basements? In fact, he dug my basement.
Who?
June Schaefer.
Oh, yeah.
Rough fellow, big guy. Really rough.
How'd he dig your basement?
Scoop.
Okay. With a horse-drawn scoop?
Horse-drawn scoop.
Huh. Darn, then there was no way of picking that dirt. They had to just slide it out.
Slid it out?
Yeah, right.
Right. A lot of fellas used to dig their own basements.
He, my brother-in-law, lived next door, and I had a right next to him, that high spot in the hill. It was all sand and sand blue. So we took my tall lot, filled in his old backyard. So you took all that and scooped it over into the next lot. He got his fill sand, and I got rid of it.
That worked out pretty well. Well, you know, I saw when they moved all those houses out from around our area, down where my office was on the corner of 5th and Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody, and I've forgotten who it was watching the house being moved. And I said to him, I said, I bet this is the first time you've ever seen a house moving. He said, no, they used to move them all the time.
They could move the shore. They used to have a turn a rope, hook at the house, and then
turnstile.
Turn the wheel, the horse would turn the wheel to pull the house.
Huh. They'd slide it along and then what, move the turnstile up here and slide it again?
Yeah. Did they put it on rollers?
Yeah.
Rollers. They put it on rollers. Yeah.
That amazes me that they could do those sorts of things back then. They had no gasoline engines. No electrical devices of any kind. It was all just...
It developed fast, so after they once got it started with gasoline.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a great assist.
Yeah. It's just the same thing in the factories, too. With all the belt-driven pulleys. One main shaft.
Yep.
You've got so many machines with the belts on them, you know?
Yeah. I've seen pictures where each station would have a belt off the main drive. Yeah.
Jelly bean, Pete? No, you want a jelly bean?
No, thanks. No, they look very colorful, though. Well, how long did you work for Wheeler?
Well, I did work. I just relieved work. Relieved work.
Yeah.
Right. Quite a while, I guess, I was there.
I remember you there. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. 1950s, 1960s.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, the guys are both going too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Arnold and Art both. Yeah. Well, let's see. Who would the oldest druggist in town now probably is Cliff Path. Remember Cliff? I think he, when I say he's the oldest one in town, he has sold his business, but he comes back, he still helps out.
He bought Carl Hetzel. Carl Hetzel had that drugstore first.
Okay. Well, that's out in your neighborhood, sure.
Yeah. Of course, it wasn't as big as what it is now. He remodeled that.
He did, yeah.
Because, John Casimir had a store on there.
Yep.
John Casimir. Johnny's Sweet Shop was out there. Andy's store.
There's a bakery there. Home Bakery. Where the sweet shop?
Right across from Home Bakery.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Another grocery store there, too. Across from John's.
Where'd you get your ice cream? Hexels?
Where did we get ice cream?
Yeah.
We used to make, we had an ice cream machine in the store. We made our own ice cream.
At Witt's? At Witt's?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm. But as a kid, when you were a youngster,
yeah.
Did Hetzel have ice cream?
Well, Hetzel.
Hetzel.
Hetzel wasn't in there then.
Oh.
How about Brownie's Sweet Shop?
Pete the Boo.
Pete the Boo.
Yeah. Pete the Boo, that's where we got our ice cream. Huh?
Downtown.
Huh?
Downtown.
No, then he...
Was he out there?
Well, no, he was... he had a store on the... Fulton Street. Fulton and 7th. Where that...
Where
laundromat is now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be right by the Christian school.
Well, no, that's quite a ways from. That's crossing the.
Yeah.
But that. There was a Boss drug, too, on the corner there.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
John Boss.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be across the street from the laundromat.
Right.
Yeah.
John Boss, he bought that from John Mulder.
Right.
John Mulder owned that square drugstore. That was his drug. When he came to town, that was his first drugstore. Square. They used to call it the Square Drugstore.
Where? On Fulton?
On Fulton.
Oh, yeah?
And then John Ross used to work for him, for Mulder. And then eventually John brought the store downtown from Vanderveen. And then he sold this here store to Ross on Fulton Street.
You know, I marvel at the mass transportation you had here. You could walk out the front door of Witt's with your overnight bag and get on the interurban and go to Grand Rapids,
yeah.
Get on a train and go to New York, or I guess you could go to New York, you could go right down here to the depot and get on a train.
Yeah. Or Grand Trunk, or PM, or...
Well, you were both here in the heydays of the car ferries. You remember those?
Yeah.
One of the statistics that absolutely amazes me is that around the 1927, 28, 29, there were 90 trains a day in and out of Grand Haven. 45 in, 45 out. Now that's a lot of railroad trains. Is it possible that you remember that many trains?
Well, they had a roundhouse there when they
turn them around.
Yeah.